Text today is Acts 2, and it's an extremely controversial chapter in all of Christendom. Some denominations have built their entire faith system around it, while other churches have set it aside, afraid of looking at it for being accused of being holy rollers, or at least out of order. But I got to tell you this morning, the word Pentecost is a great word, and it's something that's needed badly now, today, and in America. And I was reminded during praise time, a great praise time, but I was reminded in the book of the beginnings, in Genesis 1:1. And it says, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So from the beginning, the Holy Spirit has been with us. We have discounted Him. We have called Him an it. Or worse yet, we've not even acknowledged Him. But as part of the Trinity, as part of God's personality, and as our ever-present helper, I tell you, it is vital that we know Him. So today I want to take a few minutes, and I don't even know if I'll get finished with the sermon today. We might hold it over, but I want to take a few minutes to talk about the meaning of Pentecost, then the miracles of Pentecost. As you heard John read earlier in Acts 2:1, it says that when it had fully come, my nearly infallible Bible says when it came, but no, the really true translation is when it had fully come. But what does it mean by fully come? See, Pentecost is something that's been celebrated before the writing, before Jesus, for 1,500 years. It was a feast day to the Jewish people. It was a day where they annually celebrated. And if one studies Leviticus 23 and looks at all of the feast days, what you find is an outline, prophetic outline of what Jesus' ministry will be. Because each ministry gives a flavor or a factor, a reflection of Christ. And I won't have him here, but I won't even go through those ministries. But I want to focus on this day called Pentecost. Pentecost means the 50th day. It always came exactly 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits. Every year, they would take grain and grind it and refine it to flour and mix oil and make dough and divide it into two loaves. This was an annual tradition. We know that Pentecost also predicted or foretold of the death of Christ, His burial, for He is our first fruits. Predicted, it called for the coming of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says that there is one unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all of it are many parts, they are form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, free or slave, and we are given one Spirit to drink from. The Spirit of God that came on the day of Pentecost is the most important event to the Christian church. The disciples who had walked with Christ for 3 years did not understand it. They didn't get it. And we can say, how could they not get it? Did they not walk with Him for the 3 years? Did they not see the many miracles He did? No, they didn't get it, and we don't get it today most of the times in most of the churches. We don't get it. The empowerment of God brought to the church on the day of Pentecost the power. See, many people have gone to the cross and received forgiveness, but they haven't gotten to Pentecost to receive the power. And it's in this day, Peter, James, John, these mighty men that walked with Christ, who then, following his resurrection, spent 40 days in instruction. But it was only when the power of God came on them that they got it. Peter, who denied the presence of Christ to a handmaiden, stood before the men of Jerusalem who said they were all drunk and said, don't you understand? They're not drunk as you suppose, but they're filled with the power of God, with a new wine. Peter, who went from scared to admit Christ, stood before a city and proclaimed in power what was going on. He got it finally. Saints of God, we can get saved, but we don't got it. We don't understand it without the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in our midst. I don't understand. I was raised in a church that never talked about Pentecost, never talked about the Holy Spirit, except it was something that happened and that's dead to the church now. Shame on us for not understanding that God, through the Holy Spirit, anoints us and gives us power, gives us gifts of working that we can go out and proclaim with boldness and not with intimidation the power of the name of Jesus. Pentecost has three miracles that we need to understand. I'm reminded of a story of a sundial that was given to an indigenous people who lived in a remote area of a jungle. They built a house over it to keep it safe. This kept the sun away from it and made it useless. They beautified everything around it, but without purpose other than to treasure it. It reminds me of the powerlessness of most Christians. The Holy Spirit, if he's treated at all, is treated either in an emotional high or a theological concept, rather than the supernatural God that he is. I heard a thing this morning that really shocked me. We all remember times and places where the Holy Spirit has come. Azusa Street. But for us in Florida, we remember Brownsville. 3 million people went through Brownsville, 10 or 15 years ago? The Brownsville Fellowship is about to file for bankruptcy. What happened? I don't know. I was shocked when I heard this. What happened? I wonder. But isn't that how we treat the Holy Spirit? When we're in need, we cry out for Him. And when things are good, we forget Him. The church is powerless. And we wonder what's happening. Power of God to save us. And to bring home Jesus, because Jesus isn't coming before all have heard about him. But on this day of Pentecost, there was three miracles. There was sound, there was sight, and there was speech. There was sound as a rushing mighty wind, like a tornado going through the room. They say if you ever hear a tornado, like a freight train, you'll never forget the sound. There was the sight of cloven tongues on each person, all 120 of them, flickering upon their heads. There was healings. There was examples of power going out. And then there was speech. There was other tongues and other powers of working gift. Let's look at the wind. Why is the Holy Spirit used as the wind? Throughout the Bible, it's a symbol, and there are three reasons. First, because the wind is invisible, and you don't see the Holy Spirit either. You can't see the wind, but you feel its effects. I understand this afternoon, we're going to have some wind. Not too much, but we're going to have some wind. We won't see the wind, but we'll see the limbs blowing. You can't take a picture of the wind. Although, and I think I've told you this before, I had an impression of the power of the Holy Spirit one time. It was back at our old church, and it was a Thursday night, I think, and one of our young students wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He had wanted to be filled in the Holy Spirit that afternoon, and we had prayed for him and come that night, and he came up again to receive, and he stood between me and the praise group, and I saw this whirling ball come through the wall and through the praise group. Didn't move them, but when it hit Stephen and I, Deacon Tom saw me jump behind me, and the three of us ended three rows back. So powerful did it hit. John 3:8 says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear it. You hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. So it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit. We know the impact. We didn't see it coming. We didn't see it going. But we've been changed in its aftermath. Such is the Holy Spirit. Take someone that you know that might be steeped in sin or fear or anger, all of which is sin, and let the Holy Spirit sweep across their path, and you will see a new person. So many of us have seen changes in this church with the Holy Spirit, both here and at Trace Arroyos, where personalities have absolutely been changed, where people that are timid and afraid to speak become emboldened with the power of God. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11 says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral or idolaters or adulterers or men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers who will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you. But you were washed, and you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God can change. I was always raised with this saying of my daddy, leopards don't change their spots, but the Spirit of God can make spots to be spotless. I've seen people who have been in prison rightfully, and they're changed because the Spirit of God found them. Father Lon was just talking this last weekend. You were in prison
yesterday.
And what an eye-opener it was for the people that have been changed. See, God can reach beyond walls and prisons. God can reach beyond hardnesses of our hearts and give us the opportunity to be open to Him. The Spirit of God goes where it wants to. Wind blows where it wants to. We can't see it, but we always can tell where it's been. So the Spirit of God is known as wind because it's invisible. The Spirit of God is also irresistible. You can't stop it or control it when it's loose. See, that's what's wrong with many churches. It can get pretty ugly by our decorum when the Spirit of God comes, because He will shake things up. And some of us will have words, and some of those words will be right on, and some of those words will be wrong. And you know what? We just kind of learn what the Spirit of God's doing to us. I've seen whole churches change, though, because of the pastor's uncomfortableness with what the Spirit of God's doing. I remember many, many years ago, well, not many because it's about my son, and it was back to Brownsville, and everybody was going to Brownsville. And Brownsville, you know, all the youth wanted to go to Brownsville at that time. He was a teenager, and he said, why do we need to go to Brownsville? Why can't we pray and let the Holy Spirit come here? And the Holy Spirit did, and things started happening in our youth group, and some of our members got offended and started saying, we're not going to let our children go back there because they got some long hairs, they got some hippies, they got people that have been in drugs. I don't know what it is. They started growing in our youth group. People started coming in, started responding to the period, and some of our members said, I'm taking our children. And the whole spirit fell apart. Shame on us. But it happened. It's not comfortable sometimes when God comes. He shakes us up in ways that we don't understand. But the power of God is absolutely essential for our faith.